got your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 21. When you find your place, you can stand to your feet if you would. How many young people do we have in the house tonight, school age, from kindergarten to college? How many parents do we have in the house? How many grandparents do we have in the house? We got something for everybody. Let's just go on with it. Verse number 1 in chapter 21 says, "Now these are the judgments which thou hast set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. And if he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. And if his master has given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, and the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say," now listen to this, "if the servant shall plainly say, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children,' I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." Let's pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we want to thank you for letting us come tonight. Thank you for your anointing. Lord, I pray that your word would help your people tonight. Lord, you give me liberty to preach. God, that the young people here would just be set on fire. Lord, that they'll have zeal. And Lord, they'll just hold that banner, God, when they go back to school, or Lord, just live their lives. And God, I pray you'll burden the parents to be better Christians than the grandparents tonight. Lord, use me as your vessel. Lord, as just use my mouth as your mouthpiece in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. As I looked at this scripture, if you look at it, and I'll explain a little bit of it to you, and then we'll preach. We've got a Hebrew servant here, and he's got a choice. He's got a master. And the Bible says that after 6 years he served this master. What's happened to this man? He's been in debt to a master, and he's either owed something himself that he couldn't pay, or his family has had a debt somewhere that they couldn't pay. And amen, he became this master's servant, and he had to live in those quarters, and everything his master needed done, he was his servant, so he had to do it. But after 6 years, he had a choice. And if we look in verse number 5, it says that if he shall plainly say, "I love my master," amen, that starts number 1, amen, in the spirit of the, or the eyes of the Holy Spirit, "I love my master, my wife, and my children. I will not go out free." Number 1 tonight, as parents, if I would like to preach to you for a minute, you've got to love your master. Amen. You've got to know who your master is. You've got to love God. Amen. And know Jesus in your heart. And then you can love your wife. Amen. Number 2. And then you can love your children. Amen. If it doesn't go in that order, it's not going to work. But if you'll put your life in that order, Brother Wynn, then it'll work. Amen. Are you with me tonight? And I tell my church, if you don't say amen, smile and nod your head. So we got some look like bobbleheads, but I know they're listening, amen. But I thought about this servant, and I thought about his identification. And that's who he is, and all of us have an identity. Are you with me tonight? All of us have an identity, and we're known as who we are. And this man, he was known as a servant. He was known to belong to his master. He had went and he'd plainly said, "I belong to my master, and I won't go out free." And his master took him, and he took him to the door lintel in front of everybody. Amen. And he took him by the ear, and he made a big hole through his ear. Amen. And because he did that, that was showing to everybody that he was around that I belong to this master, that my master's been good to me and I love him. And he realized where everything he had come from. And you could look at that man without a doubt and by the hole in his ear. And I'm not saying go get your ear pierced tomorrow, amen, because Brother Wynn might fix that Wednesday night. But this man had an identification that he belonged to the master. Amen. As Christians, amen, we've got to have some sort of identification, some sort of proof on us that we belong to Jesus. Amen. We're not undercover. We're not secret agents. But we've got to have something that shows who we belong to. Amen. He had identification of a servant, amen. And then he had identification as a husband. Then he had identification as a father. Amen. Now, I've had all kinds of titles in my life. I started out as a son. I was born to Earl and Ivadine Prophet back in 1977 at Watauga Hospital. Well, it wasn't long after that I had a sister, so now I've got an ID and a title of a brother. And it wasn't long after that I began to grow up and I became a student. And it wasn't long after that that I became a young man. I became friends. I had a title of a friend. Wasn't long after that that I became a boyfriend to Kelly. And we began to date. And it wasn't long after that I had another title, and that was husband. And wasn't long after that I had another title, amen, which was father. But there's a title I was missing all those years, and it was Christian. Amen. Now, you've got to have that title before you're ever going to accomplish anything. You've got to have that identification, and I didn't have it. Are you with me tonight? How many of you got that identification? Get it out and show it to me. Amen. Now listen, there's a lot of people today and they can give you titles and they're really proud of what they have on their resume. Brother Wynn, they can pull out certificate on top of certificate. They can pull out doctrine on top of doctrine. But that's not what's going to get the job done. You know, a lot of people can go out here and if you go to the bars on Friday and Saturday night and you go in, there's a lot of people with what's called a fake identification. Amen. And they'll go in and they'll show somebody at the door an ID that they've had make that's a phony. Now, there's a lot of people sitting in our churches today that have false identification. Amen. They might have their name upon a church board. They might have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. They might sing in the choir. They might tithe every Sunday. But, amen, that don't make you a Christian. Amen. What makes you a Christian is being born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, coming to an altar of repentance. Amen. Accepting Him. Hey man, now are you with me tonight? Now I'll keep checking. I want to make sure you stay with me. But we've got to have the identification as a Christian. You need to have that. That servant, everywhere he went, people could look at him, they could tell he was a Christian. Back when I was in high school and as I grew up, I didn't have a whole lot of friends that had that identification, but I did have one. And his whole life, I never heard him say a cuss word. And I never heard him get out of line. I never even caught him in a lie. Amen. Now, there's very few of you here tonight that could say you know a single soul in this whole world that you hadn't heard one of those things come out of their mouth. But this guy lived a really good Christian life. And because he did, about 7 years ago, he gave me a preaching CD. Amen. So I decided, well, if it's working for him, I might try it. So I did try it. Amen. It wasn't long. I was under conviction and got saved. Amen. Your identification will help somebody if you'll let it. Amen. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I'll get into a message in just a minute. But I thought about that. I thought about our identification and our ID. And how many of you got a driver's license? How many of you are 16 years old? Any 16-year-old? There's a couple 16-year-olds. You got a driver's license? These young folks, when they got their driver's license, how many of you are related to these kids? How many of you church family and related to them? Well, when they come in, you said, you get them? Yep, I got them. And they pull them out, and they could not wait to show you that they had actually passed that test. They had their license. Now I'm 16. I'm able to get out. I can go somewhere. I've really reached the pinnacle of my life. I finally got there. What I've been waiting on all my life. As a Christian, do you remember? Let me talk to some of you grandparents. Do you remember when you got saved? Brother, you remember when God touched your heart and He come down and He came in and He saved you and you couldn't wait to get to somebody and say, guess what happened to me? I got saved. I've been born again. Well, I'm so tickled to tell somebody. And it's fresh and it's new and you want to show everybody. But you know, sometimes that's like our Christian walk is a lot like our driver's license. When was the last time, brother, you went to somebody and said, looky here, I got them? It's been a while, ain't it? It's a highway patrolman. Yeah, he's in trouble. Amen. But it's been a while, and a lot of times as Christians, we'll get so satisfied. And all that zeal and excitement where we've been saved and so full of God, all of a sudden we'll notice we've got that put in our back pocket and we're sitting on it. We ain't got it out showing people and bragging about it and excited about it, amen, like we used to be. We ought to get excited about it again and get stirred up. Say, looky here, I've got the mark. I'm with the Master. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to quit. Amen. And sometimes we need to get that out and look at it again and remember who we are. We need to look at ourselves and really see who we are. Now let me tell you something. Did you know tonight? Now listen to me, parents. Did you know tonight in the bedroom of your homes, of your 12-year-old, of your 13-year-old, of your 14-year-old, of your 15-year-old, your 16-year-old, you know a lot of them are sitting in their bedrooms at 9 and they're looking on the computer and they're watching television and they're on the telephone and they're saying this, I'm just trying to figure out who I really am. Are you with me tonight? Amen. And they're trying to figure out who they really are in this life. And I just want to really realize who I am and what I'm going to be in life. And you know, there's a lot of them, the world's out there, and they're telling them, well, it's just a choice of lifestyle. Amen. Did you know there's a homosexual crowd? Amen. And that's a dressed up word, by the way. The Bible calls it sodomy. That's telling your sons and your daughters that it's all right to make a choice however they want to be. It's a lifestyle choice. Amen. And there's a lot of them out there that's telling them you can just go however you want to go. It's just a choice. You can be yourself any way you ought to be. Moms and dad, we ought to get in there and realize who our children are. We ought to keep an eye on them and realize what's going on in that bedroom when the doors are closed. Amen, because there's demon forces, there's principalities of the air, amen, that's in there that's trying to steal them from us. If you don't believe that, you don't realize what's really going on. Amen, it ain't just right here in these four walls of this church, but there's a world out there that's trying a whole lot harder to get them than we are to keep them. And Brother Wynn, if we don't have that mark, if they don't see that mark on mom and dad, if they don't want that mark and desire the same things that we've got, then we're losing them by the minute. Now, I don't know if anybody in here's had to deal with this, but I've had to sit in a home of a man and a woman right here in Watauga County and talk about two 15-year-old boys that was acting up in homosexual ways. I saw a mama lay on the floor and cry and weep over things that was going on right here in our county. We're not exempt, and it's not in houses that you would say was in sin. Good, godly homes, amen. Hey man, that's shocking, ain't it? And you might say, not in my house, preacher. But don't think that you're so holy that the devil can't come in. Don't think that thoughts aren't going through your children's mind when they're at home, even when they're out in the world, at school, at church, wherever the world is trying to work on them, amen. And their thoughts go through everybody's mind, amen. Everybody's mind. Perverted thoughts. And Brother Wynn, we've got to protect them. We need to let them know. We need to show them their identity. We need to remind them every day where they come from, who they are, what's required of them. We need to make sure they understand the consequences, amen, that's out there in sin. And I'd ask you to raise your hand. How many of you have had a talk with your children and explained to them, amen, that boys don't go with boys, that girls don't go with girls, and explain to them why? If you hadn't done that, you might ought to do that. You might not ought to explain to them why a girl shouldn't crawl in the back seat with a boy, even if he says, I love you. She needs to have that mark of a Christian across her so much that when he starts to do that, he's ashamed because he'll know the rejection he's about to receive. Amen. Amen. That's right where the rubber meets the road. Is that good preaching? Amen. That's what we got to have. We've got to have some young people that know their identity. There's a young girl come by me at the back door today, and I said, I'll see you next Sunday. She said, no, preacher. She said, I'm going off to college. I'm going into college camp, living right on campus at a big college somewhere in Virginia. And I said, just wear that banner. You let everybody there know that you're Christian. You let all them boys, them college boys, know what you stand for. When it comes time and they want to invite you to those parties, you make sure and let them know where you stand and who you belong to. You remember you got a mama and daddy at home that's praying for you and looking, amen, at the Lord on your behalf and talking to Him. And you don't think that works, let me tell you a little about myself and I'll go on with the message. When I was 16-year-old, I had the title of a drug addict. I got on meth when I was 17, became an alcoholic and a meth addict. When I was 20 years old, I got hooked on a needle. It meant so bad that I'm about a good 205 pound right now, pretty healthy and proud of it, amen. But I got down to about 145 pound of skin and bones, lost, demon possessed, didn't have a hope in this world. Brother, when I went 20 days without eating or sleeping, I've seen things that nobody else could see moving around, nothing but demon spirits. Amen, and that's just out there waiting on your children today. But I had a mama and daddy that bore the mark of a Christian. They got in revival one week, and when they got in that revival, they would come in the back door. And how much do you love your children? Let me tell you this. He said, I love my master, I love my wife, and I love my children. Amen. On their master's behalf, a father and a mother would come to the altar every night during revival. Before the preacher said a word, they would get on the altar and pray for me 5 nights in a row, the whole service. Amen. It wasn't 2 months till I was saved. Amen. It wasn't 6 months till I was preaching. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. We ought to say amen when somebody says something like that, because that's good. When God touches an old drug addict that has no hope, has no life, no potential, and does something with him, it ought to stir the church up. Amen, because that's why we're here. Let me tell you something, young people, especially these teenagers. How many of you know where Union Baptist Church is? I was over there preaching maybe Sunday before last. And we were outside in a tent having tent meeting. They were having Bible school. And the teenage class went back, and two teenage girls, 15, 16 years old, began to testify. Brother Wynn, they just got their Christian ID out and said, look what I got. I'm proud of this. Look what God's done to me. And they were identifying themselves. And while they were identifying themselves, there were a couple other girls sitting there. They began to look, and maybe in a spiritual eye you can look, and they got out their ID. And they said, well, mine don't say that. I don't have what they have. And they begin to notice they weren't saved. And all of a sudden, two of them dropped in the floor and got saved. Well, in a minute, guess what happened? There's another one in there. Me neither. She got saved. By the end of the week, in a teenage class, 21 young people got saved. Praise the Lord. Amen. Through obedience, through saying, I want to be identified. I want you to see I have that hole bored in my ear. I am a Christian. I want to bore the mark of a Christian. Young people, I got offered a lot of things in school. I got tempted with a lot of things. And after I got out of school is when I got in trouble. But my friend had always stuck by the book. He never got tempted. You know why? Because people knew where he stood. People knew that he bore that mark. If you want to resist a lot of temptation, save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of nights at home crying, and a lot of shame, amen, just go ahead and get that mark, get it bored in, and wear it all the time. Now, I'm not a long preacher, and I'll be done in just a few minutes. But I want to talk about your name. How many of you had ever heard of Eric Prophet? How long you been sheriff's department, brother? About 6 years, I got out by the time you got in. If you went up to the sheriff's department and you talked to some of them that had been in there maybe 10 years ago, they knew who I was. They knew where I hung out. They knew the things that I did. I'm sure you've probably talked to some of them that might have knew me before. They never got to arrest me, but they was always watching, seemed like. And I was always with the wrong crowd. And my dad would always come to me and he'd say, son, you got to protect your name. You're going to carry that name all of your life. Now listen to me, young people. The name you have right now, you're going to carry all your life. That's precious to you. You ought to protect it. Not only are you carrying it for your sake, you're carrying your mom and dad's name. You're carrying your grandpa's name. You're carrying a name that really means something. You're carrying your heritage. And you've got to protect that. And I didn't realize that at the time. And my dad would say, you've got to protect that. And I'd say, oh, I don't care what they think. Any of you parents ever heard that? Yeah. You ever heard those teenagers look at you and say, I don't care what nobody thinks. I don't care what that preacher thinks. I don't care what them people think. And that used to be me, Brother Wee, and I was just a pure rebel. I could care less what anybody thought, but I did care. I might act like I didn't, but I did. And I got to thinking about the meaning of a name. And I got to thinking about how precious a name was. Now, we got anybody in here named John? Does anybody know somebody named John? What about a Matthew? Does anybody know a Matthew? Anybody named Matthew? What about a Mark? Does anybody know anybody named Mark? What about a Luke? Does anybody know anybody named Luke? What about Stephen? Does anybody know anybody named Stephen? We had a boy in our church that just had a son named Titus. Joseph. What about a Joseph? Know any Joes? Sure you do. All kinds of them. What about a Murray? Does anybody know a woman named Murray? What about a Martha? What about a Ruth or a Naomi? What about some of these good godly women that's in the Bible? Does anybody know women named after them? Sure you do. But how many of you know a woman named Jezebel? Well, why not? Look how she identified herself. Look how she carried herself. What about Herodias? Does anybody know anybody named Herodias? What about Judas? Is there a Judas in the house? How many of you expecting mamas would like to name your son Judas? Why not? What about Herod? Anybody want to name him that? What about Lucifer? Why not? That's what they're going to be identified as, ain't it? Your name means something. Tonight you ought to carry your name, and you ought to carry that Christian name. And not only are you carrying your name for your sake and your family, but teenagers, listen to me. When you go out and you go into school, you're carrying the name of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. You're carrying the name of Wynn Greer. What about that? They go to Wynn Greer's church, don't they? Look how they're living. Look what they're out here doing. Look how they're carrying that church's name around in the mud. I had somebody come to me, and it hurt me really bad a while back. They said, we'd come down to your church, but some of your church people, you wouldn't believe what they're doing. I said, come anyway. I'll preach to them and you at the same time. Come anyhow. Well, don't pay no attention to what everybody else is doing. You've got to cover your identity. But tonight, young people, you've only got one shot at this thing. There's always two paths. Straight path, amen, that's narrow. There's a broad path that leads to destruction. That's right, that's Bible. Amen, and you've got your choice tonight. And all those paths are laid out in front of you. And your ID card may look like it's got a lot of space for you to put a lot of things on it. It does. You've got a lot of credentials that you can add on there through life. Just put the ones like graduating high school, going to college, having a good job, saving yourself for your husband, being a virgin on your wedding night. Save that stuff. That's important. That's your ID. That's who you'll be for the rest of your life. And Brother Wynn, if we'll save that stuff and hold on to it and know who we're identified as, then we've really got something. But you know, I feel like in our churches today, and especially in our teenagers, if you go up to the high school, we've got kids dressed in black, black fingernails, black hair dyed black, rings in every place that they can put one. And they're walking around, and if you ask them how they're doing or who they are, they'll say, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it all out, man. Just trying to figure it out. Just trying to figure this thing out. And after life's done with them and it's wrung them out and it's took everything they've had and there's hardly nothing left, they'll figure it out. They ain't figured nothing out. But let me tell you something. If you ain't figured it out yet, if you're here tonight and you don't have that identification like I've got, if you don't have a positive ID, how many of you have got a positive ID with Jesus? Amen. I'll show you my fingerprint. He knows who I am. Amen. Amen. If you've got that, you got to hold to that. Now, you can hurt yourself really bad. You can have that ID, and it can be real. I mean, a real ID, Brother Wynn. I mean, it's real. It says who I am on it. You can look at it, and it says Eric Prophet. Tells everything about me. Tells how tall I am, how much I weigh, what color my eyes are, my hair. And I've built up a pretty good testimony in the last 7 years. But I could go out here tonight and take that testimony. And I could say, I believe I'm just going to do what I want to do tonight. And listen to me, young person. One night can change your life. Young lady, one night in 9 months can change your life forever. Young man, one night of drinking a beer and getting behind a wheel can change your life forever when you're in prison with a DUI and murder. Amen. I can go out there in one night and take everything that I've worked for to build my identification, to build who I am. And I could lose my family, I could lose my church, I can keep my salvation, but I still have to stand before God because there's a book of remembrance. Still have to answer for that with Him. Now tonight, I'm done right here, but I want to challenge you with your spiritual eye. I want you to look at your identification. Just look at the palm of your hand or whatever you got to look at. Look at your Bible, look at anything, and I want you to picture your identification right there. And I want you to look at that and I want you to see, what's it going to say? Is it going to say Christian? Is it going to say I don't know? Is it going to say sinner, lost person? Is it going to say I'm going to choose what I'm going to do later? Right. Amen. Leave some empty blanks to check in later. Amen. That's the worst one. Yeah. Somebody that's just waiting. Had a boy come to me this morning and I'm done. He's probably in his mid-30s. He said, Preacher, He said, I don't feel saved. I said, well, have you ever asked the Lord to save you? He said, yeah. I said, were you under conviction when you asked him? Oh, yeah. I said, you're saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that's Bible, right? I believe that. He said, but the devil's telling me. I said, I'll stop right there. He's the father of all lies. If he's telling you something, it's a lie. If the devil's telling you you're lost tonight, he's the author of confusion, you're saved. But if God's telling you, amen, there's a difference between confusion and conviction. If God's telling you you need to come up and be saved, you're convicted, you need to be saved. And after we talked a while, he said, do you ever doubt your salvation? Now, I don't know why I'm going with this, but I'm just going to follow the Spirit. He said, do you ever doubt your salvation? I said, well, I'll tell you this. When I was about 13 years old, my pastor had preached a message, and I'll never forget it at school the next day. I said, Lord, save me. I'm lost. And I never told nobody. I never made confession with my mouth. Right. But I asked, and that tormented me for years. But nothing really changed. But about 7 years ago, I was just an old drug addict lost on my way to hell. Didn't have no hope. And I got down beside of the road in a little 1993 Toyota Corolla. And I said, Lord, I need some help. Will you change my life? I'm dying. I'm losing my family. I'm losing my home. I don't have nothing. Would you save me? And I got up and I got in the car and I didn't feel different. I didn't look different. But when I got home, I didn't have no desire to go do what I'd left the house to do. The next morning, I told my wife, I said, you drive me to work this morning. I had to go meet a boy. And we was both doing drugs all the time. I got in the truck with him. He said, roll us a joint. And I said, no, not this morning. I said, something's changed. I said, I can't do that no more. By the end of the day, I told him, I said, I got saved last night. I accepted Jesus. And he's going to change my life. And you know what? I did mess up about 2 weeks later, and I got high. But I was so convicted, so chastened. For days and days that I was miserable, and I thought I had ruined my identification. God won't even recognize it no more. But when I come, I repented. I got in church. I got involved, and God started using me. And I hadn't had to go back to that since. Tonight, I want you to look and see if you do have that true identification. Look and see if you can say, yeah, I belong to Him. That's what matters. Just look in your spiritual eye. Let's pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for over these young people tonight that you'll help them. God, I pray they will be positively ID'd as yours. Lord, I pray through the blood of Jesus that you'll put a hedge about them, Lord, that you'll protect them. Lord, you'll use them in school. Use Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, Lord, to start a revival. Use their young people, God, to help set this church on fire and to encourage Brother Wynn. God, I know you can use these young people as the church of today. Lord, I pray that you would. God, encourage the parents. Lord, let them be aware of the dangers and the trouble that's out there waiting to get their kids. Lord, I pray you'll show them, God, and they'll be aware, Lord, and they'll put in their time and their Bible and their prayer and their time with their children, Lord, to keep them safe. And Lord, I pray when they do decide to do their own thing, Lord, that you'll be with them and protect them and bring them home. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for the liberty tonight letting us preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.